To say that Luke was concerned. Oh, wait, no, I need to read the title. Chapter 9. And the water may yet rise higher. To say that Luke was confused and concerned with the current situation he found himself in would be a catastrophic understatement. With no warning whatsoever, the Red Guards had whisked him away into a nearby speeder emblazoned with the Imperial crest and colors. They hadn't spoken to him at all, not even to inform him of where they were going. But then, seeing as a summons of the Emperor could really only bring him to one place, that wasn't surprising. Thankfully, neither the clones nor Vader had left his side for even a second this entire time, their presence giving him the strength and security necessary to keep his head on at a neat... Their presence giving him the strength and security necessary to keep his head on an even keel and assess the situation. He was being summoned by the Emperor. The Emperor, whose reason for summoning him was ostensibly that he'd been impressed by the presentation he'd given for the Senate. Now, given that Luke had put considerable effort into... making the whole thing pretty impressive, if he did say so himself, it would be a pretty convincing lie if it weren't for the fact that none of this even remotely felt like the actions of someone who'd been positively impressed. The unannounced summons that clearly left no room for refusal, the way the Red Guard had come to collect him for said summons in a manner that was all too similar to Jabba's snatch slavers. Is it possible that's supposed to be slave snatchers? Snatch squads? Snatch was, by the way, one of the words for female genitalia that was used. Though it was used rather in the sense of someone snatching something out of the air. But it was still in there. A lot of them were hidden, is the thing. Like most of them were hidden in other usages. But they were all in there. That was, in fact, the foundation of the original conversation was that, like, 99% of them are fucking disgusting. Like there are almost no aesthetically pleasing words for it at all. And that's so fucking weird and dumb. But, in a manner that was all too similar to Jabba's... snatch squads. The fact that, if it weren't for Vader and the clones' quick thinking and actions, he would have been completely alone on his way to the palace. He frowned as he pensively stared out the speeder's windows at the blurring city. It all smacked of something sinister that left his instincts on high alert, and the part of his mind that he was never sure was wholly him howling in warning like the winds of a dust storm. None of that had been helped by the fact that Commander Cody had immediately signaled for him to remain quiet as soon as they entered the speeder. Something that his gut told him was likely due to the fact that there were more ears listening in than he could see. Stack all of those circumstances together, and Luke felt that he could hardly be blamed for slipping into his runner mindset for the first time in months. The facts laid themselves out in front of him as he attempted to make heads and tails of what was happening. He'd been summoned by the Emperor. He'd been summoned by the Emperor, and said summons was being enforced by the Red Guards in a manner that was either callously uncaring of how it affected others, or deliberately designed for intimidation and disorientation. With this being the Empire, he had his credits on both. Vader, for all that he had quickly taken control of the situation to the best of his abilities, might as well have been a wall himself with how tightly he was keeping them up. Luke had tried to get some kind of read on him, but the sheer fact that he got nothing from the usually expressive man said enough in and of itself that he felt justified in his own worry about the situation. He tapped his finger against his bicep as he kept the impassive red guards in his vision at all times from the corner of his eye. Whatever was going on here, it was concerning enough even without Vader reacting like this. It felt like he was being put on trial rather than being honored, and he knew that there were likely layers to all this that he couldn't even begin to hope to see without some guidance from Zev or Vader. I don't think you need to pay Matt anything to see that fic on his site. I don't think it's possible. But I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not at all up with the ways that one has to give Matt money to see his fiction, because Matt just sends me his fiction. Making up his mind as he glanced back at a rigid Vader, never letting the guards out of sight, he began to prepare himself for whatever was coming in the only way he knew how. Centering himself in the raging storm that was his emotional state at the moment, he forced himself to remember that while his emotions were the storm, he was the eye, and they were as subject to his whims as any physical part of him was. They would not distract him from his goal. They would be his tools to success. Every last one of them. Mind be still, he thought forcefully to himself. Heh. His inner eye resonating with that part of him that was more desert than him as he recited the ancient mantra Aunt Beru had taught him when he first became a runner, handed down through generations of children. Mind be still, and heart be strong. I am a child of the desert, and I am more than what anyone wished me to be. In the center of myself, I will find who I am, untainted by my circumstances. The matches will not break me. They will not bind me. They will not catch me. They will not see me. In my heart of hearts, I am free, and free I will remain. The storm will hide my tracks, and the winds it brings will guide me true along the paths. I will succeed, or I will fail. Having given it my all, mind be still and heart be strong. A vow and a war cry in one, she told him, recited silently in defiance of the unforgiving and the unrelenting. A war cry for the battle of one's sanity and mind, for one's morals and heart, for one's name. The last bastions of freedom in any slave. The only kind of war cry a slave could ever have, she told him, and now, the war cry of the free, that would free them in turn. In the privacy of his mind, Luke recited the ancient mantra, each line a vow onto it. Each line a vow unto itself that he made to himself. Yeah. Each line a vow unto itself that he made to himself. He took the storm of emotions outside of himself and forced them into line, each one interweaving with the other until they were as inextricable. Each one interweaving with the other until they were as inextricably mingled as one. Until they were as inextricably mingled as one sand grain with the other. Individually, they wouldn't amount to much. But as both Aunt Beru and Old Ben had taught him, together they would stand as strong as any mountain. A sheer wall of storm shielding him from the rest of the world as he called upon his patron of the storm to guide him true. Does Old Ben appear in this? I really hope he does. Boo! Not yet. There we go. That's the answer I want to hear. Perhaps it was pointless, and all of this would turn out to be one big misunderstanding, but he hadn't survived as long as he had by ignoring his instincts, and his instincts were currently telling him to be prepared for anything. Slowly, surely, he sunk into that strange state of mind he entered into in Flights and Flight. When the world both brightened and darkened at once, and time seemed to rest at his fingertips, the whispers in the back of his mind swelled until he knew... The whispers in the back of his mind swelled until he nearly understood them, snatches of something ancient beyond understanding floating at the fringes of his awareness as presences older and stranger than he knew turned their attention towards him, beckoning him on along trails he didn't know yet. Beckoning him on along trails he didn't yet know how to follow. Instead of attempting to follow those trails out past where he knew his mind ended and something else began, he reached for it. He reached for his emotions, all of them, and wrapped them around him. And wrapped them around him like a cloak. A raging tempest of all he felt and was, volatile and wild, unpredictable and fickle. And yet it was his. It was him. And that made it his closest ally, because he willed it to be. He let out a slow breath as he reminded himself of it all, every last line and word of the mantra that was his key. Aunt Brew had taught it all to him, in spite of both Uncle Owen and old Ben's protests. Uncle Owen because he didn't want Luke involved in anything that could kill him any more than necessary, and old Ben because something. Something that had made him and Aunt Brew argue in hushed whispers that it turns to accusations, and ended with old Ben. And ended up with old Ben banned from the homestead and farm for a month until he reluctantly. And ended up with old Ben banned from the homestead and farm for a month until he reluctantly apologized to Aunt Beru. In the end, Aunt Beru had put her foot down and invoked the name of Grandmother Shmi, which left Uncle Owen in a chastised silence and old Ben with a wounded look on his face. So Luke had ended up learning the old ways of the children, and he'd been grateful for that ever since, and a little more with each and every safe flight he ran. He was certainly grateful for it now, as he made the final steps of preparation, slowly emerging back out of the deep state of mind he had entered without breaking his concentration, opening his eyes without ever having realized he'd closed them. The world looked sharper than usual in that strange but comforting manner, like everything had pulled into focus at once, and the colors saturated until even the monochrome interior of the Imperial speeder popped out. Shivering slightly as the very air seemed to spark around him, he looked back out of the window to see the palace rapidly dawning on them, its spires looming over them from where they reached beyond sky wreathed in clouds. The speeder slowed as it approached the vast structure, but never stopped, simply changing sky lanes until it lined up with one of the vast, gaping openings that led them into the hangars of the palace. Tearing his eyes away from the window, he looked back to see what the prickling sensation at the back of his mind was, only to be met with two opaque red lenses staring back at him. Blinking at his mentor, Luke tilted his head askance, trying to figure out what the still completely closed off man was seeing that had him so transfixed. If he'd hoped to get some time to figure it out, however, he'd be disappointed, as the movement seemed to shake Vader out of whatever musings he'd found himself in. If it had been anyone else watching, Luke didn't think they'd have noticed the slight start the man did as he realized Luke was looking back before looking away. As he realized Luke was looking back before looking away again. Slightly puzzled by the reaction, but knowing better than to ask while they were still in the presumably bugged speeder, Luke simply shook his head and looked back outside. Regardless of anything else, it was mildly reassuring to know that Vader was still as strange and mysterious as ever. The speeder pulled into the hangar, and after that, everything went from 0 to 60 in Luke's perception. Before he knew it, he'd been herded out of the speeder, through the halls, into an elevator, through more halls, a small rail car station, another elevator, and, if he hadn't said it yet, halls, as he hurried to match pace with everyone around him, even though he was a good few fingers shorter than even the next shortest person in the group. Never mind Darth Vader, Luke was pretty sure the man had to have some secret to being that damn tall. Steadily, they were guided ever deeper into the palace, ever deeper and ever higher through... ever deeper and ever higher throughout the underlying pyramid structure that supported the spires above, until at last they reached somewhere that Luke assumes to be near the apex of the structure. The architecture certainly resembled that of the typical imperial fare he'd come to expect from the Empire, and the halls were suspiciously deserted for such a central place, aside from the near-omnipresent Red Guards. Luke eyed them nervously, their presence feeling more eerie than ever to his newly heightened awareness, a kind of emptiness? Whatever it was, it made their presence almost fade away against the backdrop of the palace, as if they were simply part of the scenery and not people. It unnerved him, and made him long to be back on the Lady, where every corridor and hangar hummed with the life of the thousands who passed through. Still musing on the odd nature that the Red Guard seems to have... Oh, he's doing the Dark Plagueis shit. That's what the Red Guards are, right? They're like grown, aren't they? He creates them with the Force. Like, they're like... Okay. Still musing. Still musing on the odd nature that the Red Guard seems to have, he didn't even notice Vader reaching out for him until a touch on his shoulder nearly made him jump. Preventing himself from doing exactly that by the skin of his teeth, Luke glanced up at the Dark Lord, whom he found was still staring straight ahead, meaning he didn't want to draw attention to his action, or, Luke realized with fondness and a small bit of hope, he hadn't even realized he'd done it in a subconscious gesture. Whichever one it was, Luke knew better than to draw attention to it, so he kept quiet and merely leaned into the comforting touch. As they neared the place where Luke assumed the Emperor was located, said hand tightened its grip ever so slightly the closer they drew. When he finally thought to chance a tap on the hands to alert Vader to what he was doing, the air suddenly seemed to shift around them in a way it never had before. Sound muffled. Sound muffled, and the very air seemed to... And the very air seemed to thicken in a manner that reminded Luke of those rare times fog rolled in over the homestead, always welcomed for the extra water it would bring in the harvest, and yet it prickled at his senses like ozone. Blinking at the sudden change around him, he nearly missed it when Vader made a soft sound to draw his attention, nearly. It wasn't like his current state would allow him to actually miss much of anything down to the heartbeats in someone's throat. Chancing a subtle glance at Vader, he kept his senses trained on the Red Guards around him. for all that it was like trying to keep them trained on a piece. For all that it was like trying to keep them trained on a piece of moving furniture, he had a feeling that he didn't want to be seen suddenly shifting his attention over while this strange air hung around him like a veil. "Yes, my lord," he whispered as quietly as he could. Vader seemed to hesitate as he subtly drew Luke. Vader seemed to hesitate as he subtly drew Luke even closer to his side. "Luke," came the rumbled response, and to Luke's surprise, no one but himself seemed to react to it. "Be careful, little one. My master is far from as understanding as I. He is cunning and dangerous. Do not. Vader seemed to struggle for words to express his worries, but as he did so, whatever had kept him locked in himself slipped, and Luke could feel the genuine worry and fear slip out from behind the man's walls. Chewing his bottom lip, he nodded subtly. "I won't, my lord," he agreed readily. "I swear." Whatever Vader had apparently expected his answer to be, it clearly wasn't that. As Luke felt the man's startled surprise flare around him, shooting him a subtle glance, Luke let his mouth quirk into a slight smile. "I trust you, remember?" he said quietly. "Both then and now, I trust you, so just tell me how." He smiled as the quiet echo of their conversation a few days ago. He smiled as the quiet echo of their conversation a few days and a lifetime ago registered with Vader, who tightened his grip on Luke's shoulder minutely, the vocoder producing a sound Luke wasn't entirely sure he could translate properly. As the air around him thrummed with something deep and large. "Then heed my words, Luke," he said as quietly as the vocoder would allow. "Be careful of my master. He is more than he appears to be, than he presents himself to be. Be wary and be cautious with your trust." That may or may not work with the effect. I'll see you. Luke swallowed heavily as he nodded almost imperceptibly. That Vader would give such a warning laced with true, genuine fear spoke heavily of the chance that his instincts had been far from off. "I will," he promised. "I will, my lord." If Vader had wished to say anything in response, it was too late. As they turned a corner and a truly massive pair of double doors dawned on them, hewn from a similar black marble that characterized Vader's suite and offices, something which Luke noted with distaste as his opinion of the man dropped another couple of notches. The Emperor really did seem to favor as a style of architecture. I'm gonna finish the paragraph. To each their own, he supposed, but he could already guess what kind of lifeless interior he would find behind them. Hang on, I'll be right back. I'm gonna get something. Okay, so the mention of black marble and Emperor Palpatine. Hang on, I'm gonna read like a page of, where did it go? Somewhere. Did it just fucking... Yeah, okay. I'm going to read a page of the Revenge of the Sith novel. The chorus at nightfall was spreading through the galaxy. The darkness in the forest was no hindrance to the shadow in the Chancellor's office. It was the darkness. Wherever darkness dwelled, the shadow would send perception. In the night, the shadow felt the boy's anguish, and it was good. The shadow felt the grim determination of four Jedi masters approaching by air. This, too, was good. As a Jedi shuttle settled to the landing deck outside, the shadow sent its mind into the far deeper night within one of the several pieces of sculpture that graced the office, an abstract twist of solid uranium, so heavy that the office floor had been specifically reinforced to bear its weight, so dense that more sensitive species might, from very close range, actually perceive the tiny warping of the fabric of space-time that was its gravitation. Neuranium of more than roughly a millimeter thick is impervious to sensors. The standard security scans undergone by all equipment and furniture to enter the Senate office building had shown nothing at all. If anyone had thought to use an advanced gravimetric detector, however, they might have discovered that one smallish section of the sculpture matched slightly less than it should have, given that the manifest that had accompanied it when it was brought from Naboo along the then-ambassador's personal effects clearly stated that it was a single piece of solid forged neuranium. The manifest was a lie. The sculpture was not entirely solid, and not all of it was neuranium. Within a long, slim, rod-shaped cavity around which the sculpture had been forged, rested a device that had lain waiting in absolute darkness, darkness beyond darkness, for decades, waiting for night to fall on the Republic. The shadow felt Jedi Masters stride the vast, echoic emptiness of the vaulted halls outside. It could practically hear the cadence of their boot heels on the Alderaanian marble. The darkness within the sculpture whispered of the shape and the feel and every intimate resonance of the device it cradled. With a twist of its will, the shadow triggered the device. The neuranium got warm. A small round spot, smaller than the circle a human child might make of thumb and forefinger, turned the color of old blood, then fresh blood, then open flame. Finally, a spear of scarlet energy lanced free, painting the office with the color of stars seen through the smoke of burning planets. The spear of energy lengthened, drawing with it out from the darkness the device. Then the scarlet blade shrank away, and the device slid itself within the softer darkness of a sleeve. As shouts of the Force scattered red robes beyond the office's outer doors, the shadow gestured and lamp disks ignited. Another shout of the Force burst open the inner door to the private office as Jedi stormed in. A final flick of the shadow's will triggered a recording device concealed within the desk. Audio only.
"Why, Master Windu," came the shadow. "What a pleasant surprise."
Anyone who hasn't read the Revenge of the Sith, novelization fucking needs to. But anyway. Once we get to Palpatine, I might actually take another second and read a scene with him talking more to get myself into the voice, because I know I'm gonna have to figure it out.
Suddenly, the air shifted again. And in place of the almost calming, muffled quality that had surrounded him, a now almost oppressive malice settled in, a malice he vaguely recalled feeling before in tandem with this kind of architecture, though under vastly different circumstances, if he wasn't mistaken. "Well," he thought as one of the Red Guards detached from the main group to face him, "it looks like... it looks like I'll find out shortly if I'm right."
"His Imperial Majesty is waiting for you beyond these doors, Head Engineer Lars," the guard informed him mechanically. "We will escort you in." Your entourage will have to wait outside. As was to be expected, Luke thought grimly. He nodded his assent swiftly, and with one final hurried recital of the mantra that had guided him true so far, he stepped towards the awaiting Red Guard and out of Vader's comforting presence. Immediately, the Red Guards flanked him on all sides, but unlike when the troopers did it, this felt more like he was being taken into custody than escorted for his own safety. Nevertheless, he refused to be intimidated by tactics that had failed to work against him ever since he'd been 14, simply because the person using them ostensibly had more power behind it. Jabba and any of his lackeys would have killed or enslaved both him and his family if he'd been caught doing any of his runs. He doubted the Emperor could do worse than that, no matter how much more powerful he was. The dead were dead, no matter how they were killed. The doors in front of him slid open with the grating sound of rock against rock, and he was quickly ushered through. On the other side, he found himself in a cavernous hallway hewn of much the same marble and black stone, glow spheres and luminous crystal. Glow spheres and luminous crystal cast light inside the gloomy hallways, glittering dully on the plentiful reflective surfaces of various decorations and embellishments that were scattered throughout the hallway, none of which was unfortunately enough to lift the ever-present feeling of a deep, oppressive malice that hung overhead like a noxious cloud. Luke found himself being rushed through various hallways and into an elevator, nearly getting tripped up by the Red Guards a couple of times, presumably in their rush not to keep the Emperor waiting. At last, he was led toward a final set of doors flanked by even more Red Guards. The Emperor's sanctum. A flash of fear made itself known in Luke, but he swiftly wove it back into the storm of his emotions. Now was not the time for fear. It would have its place later, when he wasn't about to face the man who held the majority of the galaxy in his grasp. The Red Guard stepped to attention, the doors opened, and then the times for preparation and contemplation were over. Mind be still and heart be strong, he thought one last time as he had... He thought one last time as he headed through. Time to see what the Emperor wanted. Inside a room that Luke could only assume was intended as a kind of reception chamber, the lights were down especially low. Thankfully, that hardly mattered with the plentiful windows lining the entire place, offering a stunning view of the bustling city outside as the sun slowly began to set on it. The golden hour only an hour at most away on what promised to be a perfect evening. How strange, then, Luke thought as he kept his eyes fixated on the shadows, that it feels like I've never been anywhere more lifeless and dead. He pointedly didn't notice. Wait, no. He pointedly didn't look at the cloaked and hooded figure that was silhouetted against them. Luke breathed deeply, but didn't utter a sound as one of the Red Guards stepped forward. Your Majesty, they droned out as they knelt down upon the floor. Presenting the head engineer of the Executor, Luke Laws. Slowly, with shuffling motions, the figure that was the Emperor of the Galaxy came into motion.
Okay, I really am gonna have to do an exercise to get into this voice.
I've kept the secrets of your marriage all these years, the slaughter at the Tuscan camp you shared with me. I was there when you executed Count Dooku, and I know where you got the power to defeat him. You see, you have never needed to pretend with me the way you must with your Jedi comrades. And you understand that you need never hide anything from me, that I accept you exactly as you are. He spread his hands as though offering a hug. Share with me the truth. Your absolute truth. Let yourself out, Anakin.
Anakin shook his head. How many times had he dreamed of not having to pretend to be the perfect Jedi, but what else could he be? I wouldn't even know how to begin.
It's quite simple, in the end. Tell me what you want.
Anakin squinted up at him. I don't understand.
Of course you don't.
The last of the sunset haloed his ice-white hair and threw his face into shadow.
You've been trained never to think about that. The Jedi never ask what you want. They simply tell you what you're supposed to want. They never give you a choice at all. That's why they take their students, their victims. At an age so young, that choice is meaningless. By the time the Padawan is old enough to choose, he has been so indoctrinated, so brainwashed, that he is incapable of even considering the question. But you're different, Anakin. You had a real life outside the Jedi Temple. You can break through the fog of lies the Jedi have pumped into your brain. I ask you again, what do you want?
I still don't understand.
I'm offering you anything, Palpatine said. Ask and it is yours. A glass of water, it's yours. A bag full of Coruscant gems, yours. Look out the window behind me, Anakin. Pick something and it's yours.
Is this some kind of joke?
The time for jokes is past, Anakin. I have never been more serious.
Within the shadow that cloaked Palpatine's face, Anakin could only just see the twin gleams of the Chancellor's eyes.
Pick something. Anything.
All right. Shrugging, frowning, still not understanding, Anakin looked out the window, looking for the most ridiculously expensive thing he could spot.
How about one of those new Sorosub custom speeders?
Done.
Are you serious? You know how much one of those costs? You could practically outfit a battlecruiser.
Would you prefer a battlecruiser?
Anakin went still. A cold void opened at his chest. In a small, cautious voice, he said,
How about the senatorial apartments?
A private apartment?
Anakin shook his head, staring up at the twin gleams in the darkness on Palpatine's face.
The whole building.
Palpatine did not so much as blink.
Done.
It's privately owned.
Not anymore.
You can't just...
Yes, I can. It's yours. Is there anything else? Name it.
Anakin gazed blankly out into the gathering darkness. Stars began to shimmer through the haze of twilight. A constellation he recognized hung above the spires of the Jedi Temple.
All right, Anakin said softly. Corellia. I'll take Corellia.
The planet or the whole system?
Anakin stared.
Anakin?
He shook his head blankly. I can't figure out if you're kidding or completely insane.
I am neither, Anakin. I am trying to impress upon you a fundamental truth of our relationship, a fundamental truth of yourself.
What if I really wanted the Corellian system, the whole five brothers, all of it?
Then it would be yours. You can have the whole sector if you like.
The twin gleams within the shadow sharpened.
Do you understand now? I will give you anything you want.
The concept left him dizzy. What if I went along with Padme and her friends? What if I want the war to end?
Would tomorrow be too soon?
Anakin couldn't seem to get his breath. How can you do that?
Right now, we are only discussing what. How is a different issue. We'll come to that presently.
Anakin sank deeper into the chair while he let everything sink deeper into his brain. If only his head would stop spinning, why did Palpatine have to start all this now? This would all be easier to comprehend if the nightmares of Padme didn't keep screaming inside his head.
And in exchange? He asked finally.
What do I have to do?
You have to do what you want.
What I want?
Yes, Anakin. Yes, exactly that. Only that. Do the one thing that the Jedi fear most. Make up your own mind. Follow your own conscience. Do what you think is right. I know that you have been longing for a life greater than that of an ordinary Jedi. Commit to that life. I know you burn for a greater power than any Jedi can wield. Give yourself permission to gain that power, and allow yourself license to use it. You have dreamed of leaving the Jedi Order, having a family of your own, one that is based on love, not on enforced rules of self-denial.
I can't just leave.
But you can.
Anakin couldn't breathe. He couldn't blink. He sat frozen. Even thought was impossible.
You can have every one of your dreams. Turn aside from the lies of the Jedi and follow the truth of yourself. Leave them. Join me on the path of true power. Be my friend, Anakin. Be my student. My apprentice.
Anakin's vision tunneled again, but this time there was no light at the far end. He pulled back his hand, and it was shaking as he brought it up to support his face.
I'm sorry, he said. I'm sorry, but as much as I want those things, as much as I care for you, sir, I can't. I just can't. Not yet. Because there's only one thing I really want right now. Everything else will just have to wait.
I know what you truly want, the shadow said. I have only been waiting for you to admit it to yourself.
A hand, a human hand, warm with compassion, settled onto his shoulder.
Listen to me. I can help you save her.
You... Anakin blinked blindly. How can you help?
Do you remember the myth I told you of? The tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise,
the shadow whispered. The myth.
Yes, Anakin said. Yes, I remember.
The shadow leaned so close that it seemed to fill the world.
Anakin, it's no mere myth.
Anakin swallowed.
Darth Plagueis was real.
Anakin could force out only a strangled whisper.
Real.
Darth Plagueis was my master. He taught me the key to his power,
the shadow said, dryly matter of fact.
Before I killed him.
Without understanding how he had moved, without even intending to move, without any transition of realization or dawning understanding, Anakin found himself on his feet. A blue bar of sizzling energy terminated a centimeter from Palpatine's chin, its glow casting red-edged shadows up his face and across the ceiling. Only gradually did Anakin come to understand that this was his lightsaber, and that it was in his hand.
You, he said. Suddenly he was neither dizzy nor tired. Suddenly everything made sense.
It's you. It's been you all along. In the clean blue light of his blade, he stared into the face of a man whose features were as familiar to him as his own, but now seemed as alien as an extragalactic comet, because now he finally understood that those familiar features were only a mask. He had never seen this man's real face.
I should kill you, he said. I will kill you.
Palpatine gave him that wise, kindly uncle smile Anakin had been seeing since the age of 9.
For what?
You're a Sith Lord!
I am,
he said simply.
I am also your friend.
The blue bar of energy wavered just a bit.
I am also the man who has always been here for you. I am the man you have never needed to lie to. I am the man who wants nothing from you but that you follow your conscience. If that conscience requires you to commit murder simply over a philosophical difference, I will not resist.
His hands opened, still at his sides.
Anakin, when I told you that you can have anything you want, did you think I was excluding my life?
Okay, all right, that's it. I'm just going to keep fucking going. If I don't stop. Yeah, that's the official novelization of Revenge of the Sith. It's the greatest thing in the universe. Okay.
Ah. A small creaking voice rasped out as the... A small creaking voice rasped out as the Emperor slowly turned around, a glossy, gnarled black cane coming into view as he heavily leant on it. Engineer Lars.
No.
Head Engineer Lars. It is good to finally meet the young talent I've heard so much about.
Finally, the man turned around fully. And Luke found himself glad that he'd had the foresight to listen to his instincts and prepare, or he would have recoiled at the sheer extent to which the man looked like a half-molten wraith. As it was, he didn't even blink as he met the strange, sickly, bloodshot eyes of the man in front of him. "Your Majesty," he greeted as he bowed deeply at the waist, firmly keeping his arms by his side. Perhaps he was expected to kneel as the Red Guard did in front of him, but the day he knelt at anyone's feet as the first freeborn Skywalker was the day he accepted chains around his neck, and that day was not today. Still, he knew how to placate the kind of people who would expect someone to kneel, and he made sure his bow was sufficiently deep enough to not carry a hint of disrespect.
"Rise, rise," the Emperor waved off with a magnanimous gesture. "Please do away with the formalities, my boy. I'd hope to speak with the engineer who left me most impressed with the display you put on. I'm thoroughly pleased to see that you could make it."
It wasn't like he left me any choice, Luke thought acidly, even as he kept his face carefully blank. It would be the height of stupidity to make enemies here, even if he badly wanted to give the man a piece of his mind on kidnapping people off the streets. The masters hardly tolerated someone critiquing their hospitality in an overt manner, after all.
"I must admit I was rather surprised at your summons, your master. Your majesty," was what he said instead, carefully measuring the truth on his tongue against the lie and finding the latter wanting.
"Especially at the fact that my summons was so urgent."
"Especially at the fact that my summons was so urgent."
He kept a careful eye on the Emperor, absolutely refusing to let anything slip by him, even with his senses so attuned to the world around him, and was immediately grateful for that decision when he caught a strange gleam in the man's eye as he slowly began to hobble over while leaning on his cane.
Now, just to be clear here, the Emperor 100,000% knows that Luke is Force-sensitive, right? Vader does too. He doesn't? Okay, he doesn't. Okay. Also doesn't know about the familial relationship? Okay.
"Oh dear," he rasped out, sounding as contrite as could be, and yet it grated against the back of his mind like sandpaper instead of the usual softly shifting whispers. "It appears my guards let their enthusiasm make them rather overzealous in their approach."
The Emperor pulled a sympathetic face.
"I'm terribly sorry, my boy. It was hardly my intention to drag you out here like this."
"Lie." Luke nearly twitched as that fact was practically screamed at him. Something was terribly wrong here. Why was the Emperor acting like this? He hardly had the need to lie to Luke, after all. Something which he'd just clearly demonstrated by the fact that not even Vader had been able to stop him from dragging Luke all the way from the Senate to here post-haste. So why? His eyes widened just a fraction as the world slowed to a crawl. And between one thundering heartbeat in his chest and another... The memories rose to the forefront of his mind unbidden, take from old chapter. You little one possess far more power than you realize, heartbeat. In a certain sense, you must view these meetings as traps, little one, rather blatant ones, too, with the suitor project acting as bait. Do you remember what I told you about power and the methods used to get it? Heartbeat. He is cunning and dangerous. Heartbeat. Your time has become valuable enough and in high enough demand that people could now resort to unsavory and illegal tactics to gain access to it. Heartbeat. They'll be looking for weaknesses they can exploit to manipulate or bend you to their will. They know you are a new player in their twisted games of power untested and inexperienced. They will try to use that against you. Heartbeat. He is more than he appears to be, that he presents himself to be. Be wary and be cautious with your trust. Heartbeat. Be careful, little one. Oh. Oh, fuck. Luke swallowed minutely and hoped the Emperor didn't notice as everything fell into place in front of his mind's eye in a split second. He didn't have the time to dwell on it, though. A second's hesitation might spell as true a disaster here as it would on any flight. No need, Your Majesty, he replied on autopilot, desperately searching his brain for every last scrap of information he gleaned from both Vader and Zev on the games of power played here in Imperial Center. It was my honor. Fuck. He knew Uncle Owen would one day be proven right when he said that he'd find himself in a situation way over his head, but he'd honestly hoped that his uncle's half-prophetic curse wouldn't choose to come true.
Yeah.
Wouldn't choose to come true on the day he had to meet the fucking Emperor. The Emperor who was watching him like a sand swimmer stalking its prey, even as that kindly expression never left his face. Just like that, there wasn't a shadow of doubt left in Luke about what this meeting was for.
What a relief, the Emperor rasped out. Truly, their dedication is admirable. But I had to question where they get some of their plans from. It would hardly do to scare any of my guests away before they even so much as had the chance to arrive.
Mix those together. Lie. Luke scoffed internally, so that was how it was going to be. Fine. Two could play at this game of charades. He may be new to the vicious maneuverings and games the Imperial elite... liked to play, but he was hardly a stranger to concealing his true nature in a bid to be underestimated by a more powerful opponent. That would be rather unfortunate, he agreed with the Emperor, trying for a slight smile. Especially since I still hardly have a clue as to why Your Majesty requested my presence.
Of course,
the Emperor agreed readily as he hobbled over at a slow pace.
But first, why did we find a better place to talk, where we are less liable to be subject to the over-enthusiastic efforts of my guards? These old bones aren't what they used to be, but I do still enjoy an occasional stroll throughout the palace. I would much appreciate it if you were to join me, my boy.
Luke nodded easily as he mentally translated the Emperor's words to include the messages hidden between the lines. Of course, Your Majesty, he agreed with deceptive calm as he recognized the He agreed with deceptive calm as he recognized the intention to get him alone and away from any prying ears, though he didn't doubt that there would be more ears within the walls listening in. Though whether that intent had the goal to allow the Emperor free rein or to lull him into a false sense of security. Luke could hardly tell. The Emperor smiled sweetly in a manner that made it seem like there was poison hidden in... his mouth, and Luke had the sharp realization of exactly what Vader had meant when he compared someone to a viper. But vipers only bit when threatened. With the Emperor, Luke was a lot less sure of that.
Excellent. Then let me give you the grand tour to my humble abode. Follow me.
And with that, the man that was the ruler of the galaxy began hobbling away as his cane clicked against the floor. Shoring up his courage and determination, Luke followed after him, keeping easy pace with the nearly limping old man. They left the guards behind as the Emperor led Luke deeper into the chambers of his residence, light once again draining away in favor of sparse clusters of glow spheres and phosphorescent crystals set in black marble and polished metal of a nature and that hummed strangely at the edges of his peripherals. Odd. Still, he could hardly afford to focus on it when he needed to keep his wits about him if he were to survive this encounter with the Emperor unscathed and, perhaps even more importantly, unseen for who he was. The Emperor, meanwhile, hardly remained quiet while leading Luke about... throughout his sanctum.
I must say, my boy, you're quite the curious phenomenon at the moment,
he rasped out as they passed by a grand painting of a beautiful woman against a vast backdrop of green, Luke catching only a snatch of what was written on the plaque. The late Senator and Queen Padme Amid something.
Such talent! And yet you almost seem to have come out of nowhere before my apprentice brought you into the fold.
I suppose nowhere would be an apt description, Your Majesty, Luke conceded as he obliged the Emperor's fishing for information. I came from the Outer Rim, and I'm afraid that before Lord Vader picked me up, I was rather unknown.
Ah,
The Emperor said as he nodded in understanding.
The age-old tale of a young man rising from nothing to the top. I shouldn't be surprised. My apprentice does seem to have something of an affinity for picking up strays.
Luke inclined his head in agreement, unable to refute the point. After all, he too had heard the stories of how several officers aboard the Lady came by their appointments in the same manner he had. Sons Piet, Veers, and Erebus all had the same story as he did. He was hardly special in that regard. He does indeed. The Emperor glanced at him from the corner of his eyes, those strange, nearly bloodshot yellow eyes fixated on him for just a moment as they attempted to get a read on him. Luke met them evenly as he wrapped the storm of himself around himself even tighter, as the ever-present malice suddenly pressed down on him, wrapping around the edges of the storm outside himself.
No need for airs, my boy,
the Emperor told him kindly.
I would very much like to hear your true thoughts on all that transpired. After all, it must be quite the change from the Outer Rim.
There was something resonating within those words, something that Luke would have almost responded to with true honesty if it weren't for the almost oily quality coating every last syllable. Shaking off the unpleasant feeling, He measured truth against lie and favored the former. With a bit of a twist. No one had ever said a spoken truth had to be useful. It's been rather overwhelming, he admitted. I suppose I'm hardly used to the sheer amount of people that surround me every day now, which you wouldn't trade for the world. And everything considering the Suda Project, he shrugged his shoulder, it's all new.
Yes, I could see how life on Imperial Center must be rather shocking for someone like you.
The Emperor agreed amicably.
You've handled it well, though, I must say.
The man gave him a piercing look.
Certainly with such short notice.
I suppose so, he said evenly, as his insides lit in cold fire, with the realization that all of this, the short deadlines, the double presentation, maybe even the meetings, were on purpose and in bad faith. Thankfully, a few people aboard the Executor were kind enough to take me under their wing, or I would have been hopelessly lost. Like you undoubtedly wanted me to be, Luke thought caustically.
How fortunate indeed,
the Emperor rasped out, and Luke felt a feeling of vicious satisfaction as he caught the lie.
We must always be grateful to those who help us understand the unknown. Wouldn't you agree?
It's nice to get help when needed, Luke said, agreeing to nothing at all. Especially when out of one's depth.
I'm glad that we agree, my boy,
was the warm answer, the Emperor still looking at him with that self-same piercing gaze that Luke refused to reveal anything to.
Though I do hope that my apprentice was thoughtful enough to give you instructions on your new situation when he brought you aboard the Executor.
He made sure I was taught the basics, Luke said, something in him balking at the idea of giving the man who Vader had spoken of with such fear and dread any kind of information on his mentor. It wasn't like the Emperor couldn't ask Vader himself if he really wanted to know. And anything I was unaware of afterwards was quickly clarified. The Emperor's gaze turned, considering, before he turned his attention back to making sure he didn't stumble as he shuffled forwards with his cane.
How disappointing of him, he muttered. I would have expected him to do better with such potential.
Luke blinked in befuddlement. Do better? What? Your Majesty? The Emperor glanced at him as if lost in thought. Something which Luke very much doubted he actually was.
There's nothing, my boy, he assured. But I must say that I had expected Lord Vader to handle this situation with more grace and a certain finesse. Why? Young talents such as yourself ought to be nurtured by a guiding hand, not stifled by being expected to perform to mediocre standards.
I hardly feel stifled, Your Majesty, Luke answered stiffly, fire flaring in his gut with indignity at the implication that his mentor was failing him in any way. The challenges I've faced as the head engineer aboard the Executor have certainly expanded my horizons far beyond what I thought was possible.
Ah, yes, the Emperor nodded. I suppose you're referring to that endeavor of yours on the Holonet. I'm told you were quite industrious with what amounted to scrap. But surely you're aware, after your performance at the Senate, the galaxy now lies open for you.
The Emperor gave him a long, measuring look, and Luke, by both suns and moons, couldn't think of what he was being measured for.
You must understand, my boy,
he said with a kind but stern tone that made Luke want to scream that he had no right to act with such familiarity,
that you are no longer in the Outer Rim.
and you have gained the attention of many with your feats of engineering. Why?
He continued as he shuffled forwards.
I've even had Grand Moff Tarkin make a recent request that he be transferred to the Tarkin Initiative, as he was most impressed with your feats and abilities.
Fuck. Luke swallowed nervously. It wouldn't be the first time he'd have to reject a job offer from another party, not with the sheer amount that had been streaming in these last few weeks, but a direct request for transfer from the Grand Moff himself would be incredibly difficult indeed to refuse without... causing an incident, especially if the Emperor threw his weight behind it. He has? He asked, trying to make the dread in his voice sound like curiosity. Something in which he thankfully seemed to succeed when the Emperor nodded.
Oh, yes, though I am not surprised you did not know of it.
He sighed deeply and gave Luke a meaningful look.
Apparently my apprentice has been acting rather unreasonable, and vetoed all of his transfer requests out of hand.
Oh, thank the fucking desert and all her moons. He sent a quick prayer blessing his mentor for safeguarding him from that particular mess. He could do many things, but working for the lunatic that had thought of the Tarkin Doctrine was not one of them. He may have been initially wary of Vader before he got to know the man, but Tarkin was utterly mad if he truly believed in his own doctrine. I see, is what he said instead.
Question. What's so incredibly insane about the Tarkin Doctrine? Are we talking about the same one? The Tarkin Doctrine, as I understand it, is... Okay, so yeah, okay. Rule through the fear of force rather than the force itself. That's okay. If that's what he's latching onto, then cool. I get that. That's like, at least before the prequels kind of mucked up when the design of the Star Destroyers happened, like that's why all Imperial tech is big and impressive. That's why Star Destroyers look threatening, and that's why they're so huge when it's not actually the most practical thing, is because a Star Destroyer can show up in system, and local governors will just go, oh, okay, we'll do what you want. You know, that's what the idea behind the Death Star was, that they would only really use it once. Like, they were going to blow up they were going to blow up Alderaan, and then if they found the rebel base, they'd blow that up too. And they were thinking, well, and then we'll never have to use it again. Yeah.
But,
the Emperor continued with a casual tone that left Luke on edge,
he would hardly be able to stop you from accepting if I ordered him to.
No, he refused. He absolutely, categorically refused to let that happen. Setting aside his own distaste for what working with Tarkin would mean, he would not allow the man that his mentor clearly feared to do anything of that stripe to him. He'd eat glass before he allowed that to happen. That will hardly be necessary, Your Majesty, he said firmly, a thin layer of frost creeping into his tone. I assure you I am quite content where I am now, and I have no desire to transfer away from my current position. The Emperor chuckled softly and smiled.
My boy, I realize my apprentice can be rather...
He tilted his head as he searched for the word presumably least likely to offend Luke.
Intimidating once he's put his mind to something, but there is no need to fear any persuasion he utilized to keep you under his command. He wouldn't be able to so much as look at you should I give the command.
No. Fuck no. Luke thought as he resisted the urge to shake his head in horror, his blood feeling like it had been replaced with rushing ice water. Whatever was going on here, and he feared he was getting a pretty decent picture of it solely because of the horrifyingly familiar... and he feared he was getting a pretty decent picture of it solely because of the horrifyingly familiar language the Emperor was using. He wanted no part of it. Aside from the Emperor obliquely implying that Vader had threatened him, he'd also implied that he could stop any of Vader's non-existent threats. And maybe it was different in the core. Maybe this was just another of those culture clashes. But in Luke's experience, the only thing that could make someone back down from a threat and mean it was if someone else was holding something even worse over their head. If that was the case with Vader, Luke really, really didn't want to know what the Emperor would threaten. "I assure you, Your Majesty," Luke responded as icily as he could without it being treason, "that no such persuasions were necessary. I enjoy working as the Executor's head engineer, and I enjoy working under Lord Vader's command. The work is interesting, and the challenges Lord Vader presents me with are engaging." Never mind that if he hadn't been the head engineer... Never mind that even if he hadn't been the head engineer, he would still want to stay aboard the Lady. Never mind that he'd grown fond of the people aboard the massive ship he'd come to call home and would miss them all terribly. Never mind that he wouldn't want to trade whatever it was he was slowly building with Lord Vader for the entire galaxy. Something that he could admit to himself felt a lot like what he'd been dreaming of ever since. Something that he could admit to himself felt a lot like what he'd been dreaming of ever since he was young and watched the sky at night, hoping for his father to return someday. Something that he could admit to himself felt a lot like what he'd been dreaming of ever since he was young and watched the sky at night, hoping for his father to return someday. That wasn't for the Emperor to know. All he needed to know was that Luke would not do it. He breathed out a soft sigh as he looked for the Emperor. He breathed out a soft sigh as he looked the Emperor straight in his yellow, bloodshot eyes, and laid out the facts as clearly as he could. "Your Majesty, I truly have no desire to leave my post, and I'm afraid I will have to disappoint Grand Moff Tarkin," he explained in a calm and measured voice, putting as much conviction into his words as he could. "Seeing that, as unless he would accept me remaining aboard the Executor and prioritizing my duties as head engineer, I will have to reject his offer." The Emperor held his gaze steadily, even as Luke struggled to keep up his storm around him against the growing malice pressing down upon him, beating down upon him even as the blows glanced off of his storm. Whatever it was not happy with him.
"I see," the man said at last, something like disappointment leaking into his voice. "A pity. I had hoped that you would have been able to look beyond your humble beginnings and display some true ambition, but evidently the Outer Rim is deeply entrenched within you."
Hell yeah, it is, Luke thought defiantly, keeping his face carefully blank even as he wanted to scream it out loud. "It must be, Your Majesty." was what he said instead, "as I can't imagine a place I'd rather be." The Emperor hummed thoughtfully as he kept his eyes locked with Luke, eventually looking away as they came to a halt.
"Perhaps. Though do not be alarmed if you find yourself shifting your opinions later on, my boy. I've seen it happen before in those who came from nothing and made something of themselves. All thought they'd be content with what they gained, but eventually, as they grew and learned, they began to crave more."
He cast a meaningful look at Luke, idly tapping his cane against the floor.
"Just know that when that time comes,
The opportunities offered will still be there by those wise enough to understand that true talent cannot be rushed.
He dipped his head in what he hoped was a respectful enough manner even as he mentally flipped the man off. I'll keep that under advisement, Your Majesty.
See that you do, the Emperor answered swiftly. It wouldn't do for you to disappear into obscurity. Not when I have the distinct feeling that you have yet to show much of your potential.
Whatever Luke's... Whatever Luke's answer to that enigma of a statement would have been, he would never know. As the Emperor immediately switched tracks as they reached the end of the hallway.
Ah, but look at us now. Here I had promised you a tour, and yet... We have passed through nearly the entire gallery without me even giving you the chance to appreciate it.
The man shook his head morosely.
I really must be getting on in age.
It's hardly any trouble, Your Majesty, Luke assured the Emperor, meaning every word of it. The shorter this conversation with the man lasted, the better in Luke's opinion. Truly, I don't mind.
You are most kind, my boy, the Emperor said warmly. But I would hardly wish for you to get an impression of me as a poor host. Come, let us leave such heavy topics behind us for now and remedy some of this old man's forgetfulness. There is still one last magnificent piece to admire here.
With that, the Emperor shuffled off towards the end of the hallway, where a truly massive painting hung the centerpiece. Walking up next to the Emperor, Luke could confidently say that he'd never seen anything like it. No. Luke could confidently say that he'd never seen anything quite like it. In oil and paint, it depicted a battle, vivid and sparing no gruesome detail. Against a blood-red sky thick with black smoke, a single figure stood victorious over a slain opponent while the battle raged on around them. Cloaked in black and with a hood obscuring even the faintest hints of a face, the victor held a red beam of light clenched in their hand as they loomed over a fallen figure, whose face was turned away from the viewer and whose lighter cloak's color was concealed under the rusted stain of blood, a strange metal cylinder lying limply in a slackened hand. Around the two figures, the battle raged on. Blood-stained suits of unfamiliar white plastisteel armor rushing around them, lit by the exchange of blaster bolts. But Luke could clearly see that, according to the artist, none of that mattered. What mattered were the two combatants standing center stage. One laying slain at the feet of another, on top of a pile of corpses. He glanced at the title on the hollow plaque. The perfect victory. No, the perfect victory.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Luke glanced over at the Emperor, who was looking at the piece himself with striking intent. It certainly is something, Your Majesty, he admitted. He wasn't sure if he would call what it depicted beautiful, but the artist who'd painted it clearly knew their craft. He almost expected the fingers to start moving any second.
Yes, the Emperor agreed. It most certainly is.
He glanced over at Luke.
Tell me, my boy, do you know what this painting depicts?
Yeah.
Do you know what this painting depicts?
Taking in the entire work and all its macabre detail, Luke shook his head. I'm afraid not, Your Majesty. I mean, it clearly depicts a battle of some kind of victory as well, but if you were to ask me what victory, he shrugged idly, I couldn't tell you. The Emperor responded thoughtfully.
I suppose I could hardly expect you to recognize this, young as you are. This was before your time. When the Empire was still only newborn, a terrible act of betrayal that left both my apprentice and myself heavily scarred but alive. The traitors, however, were far from as lucky. And they paid for their crimes with their lives.
The Emperor looked back at the imposing painting where the mysterious figure was forever frozen in victory.
This painting commemorates that day of truth and deceit, and the victory of one over the other. It depicts Lord Vader in his greatest act of loyalty towards me, right before his greatest sacrifice.
Vader. Luke's eyes snapped back towards the shrouded figure, looming larger than life over him as per usual. If it really was his mentor, he looked vastly different from how Luke had ever seen him. This figure was obscured, yes, but the robes were soft as they draped over their own. But the robes were soft as they draped over their owner, instead of the hard lines of armor he'd come to know the man in. He doubted the man was wearing his ever-present life support either. Was this before?
That was the day he would sustain the injuries that would seal him in the suit you now know him by.
The Emperor elaborated as if hearing Luke's unspoken question, before giving him a piercing look with those yellow eyes.
Has he never told you of this day?
What? To relive the joyful memories of whatever put him there in the first place? Luke thought sarcastically. No, he hasn't, Your Majesty.
I think that